Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We'll begin at verse 19. This is God's holy word. Wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Boys and girls, a little over 200 years ago, in a part of the world across the ocean, there was a great sea battle. The year was 1801, and it was the Battle of Copenhagen. The British fleet was there under the command of Admiral Sir Hyde Parker. He was a very cautious admiral. But under his command was another admiral named Horatio Nelson. Nelson was a much more aggressive sailor and warrior. In that Battle of Copenhagen, Sir Hyde Parker sent a signal to Nelson's forces, allowing him to withdraw from the battle. But that wasn't in the thinking or desire of Nelson at all. He asked for his telescope to be given to him, and he took it and extended it and put it up to his eye and said, "I see no signal." And he had his forces go into battle. Now, what you really need to know about that story is that earlier in his naval career, Horatio Nelson was blinded in one eye. And on that occasion in the Battle of Copenhagen, he put his telescope up to his blind eye and said, "I see no signal." It's likely from that historical occasion that we get the saying to turn a blind eye to something. That's a way of saying to ignore something that we've been made aware of, something that we've seen or heard. And really that same idea of turning a blind eye is what is involved here in our passage this morning, this evening from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look again at verse 21. Do not pay attention to every word that people say. It's not speaking there of a blind eye, but of a deaf ear. A deaf ear. Do not pay attention to every word people say. Charles Spurgeon, in his collection of lectures called Lectures to My Students, has a whole chapter that flows out of Ecclesiastes 7:21, and the chapter is called The Blind Eye and the Deaf Ear. And in that lecture, in part, he said to his students, "You cannot stop people's tongues. And therefore, the best thing is to stop your own ears and never mind what is spoken. There is a world of idle chit-chat abroad, and he who takes note of it will have enough to do. He will find that even those who live with him are not always singing his praises, and that when he has displeased his most faithful servants, they have, in the heat of the moment, spoken fierce words, which it would be better for him not to have heard." Do not pay attention to every word people say. Literally, the Hebrew says in that verse, which translates "pay attention," do not give to your heart every word that people would say. We would say, don't take it to heart. You hear things, don't take it to heart. Now, there is a time, of course, friends, for our ears to be open. We need to hear things. The gospel itself is a gospel of God, as we've seen this morning, opening hearts, Or sometimes it's spoken of as opening eyes, opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears is what happens in the gospel, because we need to hear of our sin and condemnation, and even more, we need to hear of the hope of forgiveness and righteousness and salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what we need to hear. And there are things all through our lives that we need to hear and continue to hear. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear from others around us good counsel. There are lessons that we need to learn. There are things that people need to say to us, even rebukes that we need to hear that will be profitable to us. And so James says in James 1, "My brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry." But wisdom, friends, teaches us that there are things not to pay attention to. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Verse 21 in the Hebrew begins with a word, a small word, that means also, moreover, or in addition. And so this verse, again, like the ones before it, flow out of the previous verses. They're not disconnected. And we need to see that connection all the way back to verse 19. Wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. And then we saw in verse 21, it begins with a connecting word. For there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Now, verse 21, also, or in addition, do not pay attention. So you see, it's flowing. It's one step after another. There's a connection here. So verse 21, the wisdom about not paying attention to every word that people say flows out of verse 19 and what true wisdom is, but it also flows right on the heels of verse 20. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. We live in a world of sin. How does wisdom respond to sin around us and to sinful things that people may say about us? And how does wisdom then take all these things and look at our own hearts and our own lives as we think not only about how we should hear or not hear, but also how we should then speak to others in a way that will be righteous and holy and a blessing to them? So we see here in verse 21, the wisdom in a fallen world of not wanting or not needing to know everything that people are saying and saying about us. The wisdom and the confidence in Christ, yes, to hear what we need to hear, and hopefully in Christ, as we know that we are accepted before God in Christ, and that God is working all things together for our good. We should have a confidence in Christ to be able to hear what people are saying to us when they need to say things, that wouldn't crush us or destroy us, that we know that if it's from the Word, God is saying it to us in love, and if it's from our brothers and sisters, that they are saying it in love. But even if it comes from people who have no love for us, there are things sometimes that we hear that we need to take to heart, and it won't crush us because God won't crush us. We have that confidence in Christ, but also in Christ, not to take to heart everything we might hear in the wisdom of verse 21. The Roman writer Tacitus described once a wise man who said to someone who was shouting him down, "You are Lord of your tongue, but I am also master of my ears." You may be Lord of your tongue, and you can say what you want, but I'm master of my ears, and I can close my ears to what you're saying. You may say what you please, he said, but I will only hear what I choose. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Don't be an eavesdropper. Boys and girls, don't listen in to conversation where you may hear something that maybe you weren't intended to hear. Being an eavesdropper breaks trust. It invades privacy. And it can bring extra trouble into your life that came about just because you were nosy and you were overly curious into what people might be saying about you? Well, if you want to know everything that people are going to be saying about you, then you better be prepared to hear what people are saying about you. And it may not always be nice. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. As one person said, whispering was not invented for compliments. Whispering was not invented for compliments. People don't say, what a great person she is, but I don't want them to hear it. It's usually other things that people whisper about other people. Don't pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Spurgeon again, so helpfully said, I heartily wish that by any process we could put down gossip. But I suppose that it will never be done so long as the human race continues what it is. For James tells us that every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by man, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What can't be cured, Spurgeon said, must be endured. What can't be cured must be endured, and the best way of enduring it is not to listen to it. Over one of our old castles in England somewhere, a former owner inscribed these lines. They say. What do they say? Let them say. Isn't that the way it is? They say. What are they saying? We can pay so much attention, have so much concern. What are they saying? What are they saying? Well, what are they say? What do they say? Let them say. He goes on, thin-skinned persons should learn this motto by heart. The talk of the village is never worthy of notice, and you should never take any interest in it except to mourn over the malice and heartlessness of which it is too often the indicator. Do not pay attention to every word people say. You may hear your servant curse you. You know, we have the example of Christ, I think, very much in line with the wisdom of these words. In 1 Peter 2:21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And what we are called to ignore or to put up with from others, even what we may despise in others, things that they may say against us, wrongly, evilly, with evil motives, but they may whisper against us. The preacher here in Ecclesiastes uses for our own sanctification. It's very interesting and profound here, the way he goes on to apply a remedy and an encouragement and a motivation in this regard. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Don't listen to it. Don't let it bother you. Don't take it to heart. It can be evil. It can be raw, all those things. But then look what he says in verse 22. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. This is a very helpful, very wise, very penetrating response to verse 21 that we have here in verse 22. The preacher, by God's Spirit, turns the focus back on ourselves. Don't listen to don't take to heart what people are saying. They may be even cursing you. But turn the focus back on yourself, because don't you know you've done it yourself? You've done it yourself. That's gospel wisdom. That's at the heart of gospel wisdom, to turn the focus in this sense to ourselves and to look at ourselves first. The word there for curse, you yourself have cursed others, it comes from a Hebrew word which can mean light or frivolous or trifling. It doesn't have to be in the full sense of the word of a curse, a literal curse, but it can refer, I think, to any talk that isn't true or that doesn't build up but tears others down. This is what we might hear from others. Don't take it to heart. But remember, this is how you have spoken about other people at times, and you know it. This is what he says. Who has not, one writer said, under temporary irritation, said that of another which he has afterwards regretted? We say things about people. We can even say things about people who are the closest to us, whom we love. And it's out. We wish we could take it back, but it's out. Looking at our own hearts, you see, in our own sin, is one way that the Spirit of God, by God's grace, helps us to stop doing what we shouldn't do. You have spoken this way about others. Why, in Matthew 7, Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. As much as you can get bothered about what other people are saying to you, remember that this is something that you have done yourself. Keep that in mind always, to keep you from doing what you so dislike and hate in others. Say, how can they be doing this to me? Remember, you've done it to someone else. In Titus chapter 3, slander no one, but be peaceable and considerate, showing true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. You see the wisdom there? You see the dynamic? Slander no one. Be peaceable. Be considerate. Be humble. Why? Because you know what it's like to be hating and hating one another. And you don't like that, so don't do it. We are very sensitive when it is upon us. We can have a less sensitive conscience when we're dishing it out, when we're giving it. But you see, the writer here says, remember your own sin first. Remember your own sin first. But in the gospel, we also have the positive side of life. Remembering our own sin by God's grace doesn't only help us not to do what we shouldn't do, it also encourages us to do what we should do, to think the way we should think, to speak the way we should speak, and to live as we ought to live in light of how God has treated us. This is the other side of gospel wisdom, to remember our own sin, to look at ourselves. As we're thinking about the things that people do to us, the encouragement not to take them to heart, even when they're saying these things against us, the encouragement, the motivation comes as we remember we've done this to other people. But how has God treated us? You know in your hearts that many times you yourself have cursed others. We've spoken sinfully toward God and toward the people around us. But in Christ, God forgives us, and he shows mercy to us, and he's patient with us. What a motivation. Remember, boys and girls, the man who owed so much to his master, and the master forgave him a great debt. But then he went out, and someone who owed him so much less, he was unforgiving toward that other person. And what did the master do when he found out? Matthew 18:32, then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. Another writer said, we cannot condemn others when we ourselves are so conscious of having been so guilty ourselves. The rule of love and humility will always be, deal tenderly with others, severely with ourselves. And one of the ways that that works out in gospel wisdom is that we turn a deaf ear toward many things. Spurgeon said, I have one blind eye and one deaf ear, and they are the best eye and ear that I have. He learned that lesson from Ecclesiastes 7 as he dealt with people around him. And he likely learned it from an older pastor who spoke with Spurgeon when Spurgeon was just starting out in the ministry. F.W. Borum relates the story. Spurgeon went to visit the elderly pastor, and they sat down, and the old man said, well, well, Charles, so you're going into the ministry. You will have to learn to swallow sticks sideways. You'll have to learn to swallow sticks sideways. Now, I know this is mixing the metaphor. I began with a blind eye as an illustration of a passage about a deaf ear, and now we're talking about swallowing sticks. But it all revolves around the same issue. Because swallowing things means not taking things to heart. Don't take to heart everything you hear people say. Another way of saying that is that you swallow it. Have you heard that language before? This is what the older pastor was getting at. He had an interest in snakes. And this is the wisdom that he learned from snakes, and he's applying it in his life. He says, most people have, or F.W. Borum says, most people have at times to swallow extremely awkward things. And no man is the worse for a little elasticity in the region of the throat. The man who can on occasion gulp down a stick or two and smile as they descend into his dilatable interior is likely to live to a hearty old age. I have known many a man to lose a night's rest through his inability to swallow something or other. The doctor has some very awkward things said to him by his patients, the businessman from his customers. And we could add, couldn't we, to that list, the caregiver from her client, the teacher from his students, the bus driver from his passengers, the mother from her children, the brother from his sister, or the sister from her brother. Why not relax the gullet just a little and swallow it? Do not pay attention to every word people say. You may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. Yes, it's true, we often need to speak the truth in love, but let us remember the times that we haven't done that, when we haven't spoken the truth in love. And let us remember that as we deal with those who may say all kinds of things against us. And let us pray that God would help us watch what we do say. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be.